Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
What a wonderful thing it is to be out, because the lockdown is just starting to ease, and I've driven to Birmingham and come off the motorway and down a suburban street and been taken completely by surprise, because there was a sign on the right that said RSPB Reserve, and walked through an unpromising barrier and into an area of greenery. The Sandwell Valley, with the river running past me on the left, and definite signs of spring. The birds are in good voice and the buds are coming out. And we're here to meet a really talented young musician. Jemma Adan was born in Haiti and then moved to the United States as a child with her parents. And she came to the UK to study music. And now she's become a rising star on the folk scene with a much acclaimed first album and a second album that she's been working on during lockdown. And I think she's going to share at least one of the songs from that with us on our walk today. So we're really looking forward to meeting Jemma here in the Sandwell Valley. Jemma, good afternoon. How nice to see you.
Good afternoon, Matthew.
Thank you for coming to show us around the Sandwell Valley.
Yes.
Well, tell us about this place.
Well, I don't know about the history of this place, but this is my second home. I come here almost twice a week, especially during lockdown. It's where I come to do lots of meditation, walking, exercising, and just existing in a calm, peaceful environment, yeah.
And there's a river running past us here. What's the terrain like as we go forward onto the walk? What are we going to walk through?
It's quite hilly here, so prepare yourself. A bit of mud, lots of bird life, some parakeets to look forward to as well.
Okay, now you've brought some instruments. You've got the fiddle, and I see in your bag you've got the ukulele as well.
Yes.
And I think in the car you've got your guitar, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's fantastic. So we can have all sorts of different instrumentation.
Yep, that's
have you got a song on the fiddle that you'd like to do for
us
here?
I'd love to get started with a song.
Okay, yeah, let's get the fiddle out.
Okay.
Is this a very special instrument?
It is, actually. It's not your normal fiddle. When I first started singing and playing with the violin, the high pitch range of the normal violin or fiddle was just getting in the way of the singing. So Helichor, a brand, created this like low octave strings for violin, and I had it fitted. So now it's like a bass violin.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So violin normally would have a top E string. Does that have a different...
It's the strings are the same.
Yeah.
But they're low octave.
Right. And do you use the violin in lots of different ways?
Yes, I do, actually. Sometimes I brush and play with it. I might do a bit of that first before I get into the song. I'll actually get my brush out for you. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's like a... That's like the kind of paintbrush.
Yeah, yeah.
I see.
Yeah, sometimes I mess about and I sing and brush at the same time.
Oh, right.
I'm still working on it, but I could do a little
Like it's something. A different texture to the sound.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Like a more low-level texture so I can sing above it. There's a Haitian folk artist called Jean-Steve Bounache, and he has a song called Lignon. And I'm going to just play a short excerpt from that. It's a song about just gathering. Since we're all gathering here, I thought I'd start with that.
Assemblée au souple, de l'automne séparée, tant pis ferme jeune racine. Mais tambour s'intendait, assemblée au souple, de l'automne séparée, tant pis ferme jeune racine.
Wonderful. That is wonderful. Whatever gave you the idea of brushing a violin? It's not, well, it's not, you know, I've played the fiddle before, but I've never thought of using a paintbrush on it.
I wanted to be able to sing and play at the same time without and have like different textures and attacks on the notes. And so I just thought, what's lighter approach than the bow? And that's when this idea came
And to I suppose mind. It's got hair, hasn't it, like the bow?
Exactly.
But in a different form.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the beginning of that. We'll see what happens. I might try thicker brushes. Still exploring it, yeah.
Now, is there anything else you want to do with the fiddle before we leave it behind?
Oh, yeah.
Would you play us some
fiddle
music?
Yeah, sure.
What is this?
This is Going Home.
Right. Is it one of your own songs?
Yep. So this song, Going Home, is a song I wrote the words to it before lockdown and actually had some arrangement for it. Had a go at playing it. It didn't quite settle yet. So I didn't bring it out to the world until now in lockdown. And I've had a chance to really sit with it, work on it. And I say a more just play it in a way that if it really sits within me. And it's a comfort to me, especially during this time that we are in, where we are actually home, but I'm sure many of us would like to be in other places.
And when you say going home, what does that mean to you?
Going home is where I choose home to be. Like right now, home is right here in San Juan Valley, just feeling present. Yeah, that's what home is, being present.
Going home.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. I noticed that you hold your bow quite a long way up.
Yeah.
You know, about a third of the way up the bow, you're almost holding it. Why do you do that? Does it give you more control?
It naturally happened. It feels lighter. I have more flexibility, especially when I'm doing lots of fiddling about as I'm singing. So I think it's heavier down here while I'm playing and singing. And I want to keep the sound quite low in volume as well. I think that helps with that, yeah.
So you're obviously experimenting the whole time with the instrument and how it might be used. Do you sometimes pluck it as well and use it like a sideways, like a guitar? And
Yeah, it's sometimes like this way, but I actually try and pluck this way when I sing.
More like pizzicato.
Yeah, pizzicato style. Yeah, you're a fiddle player yourself, no?
Well, I would, in your presence, I wouldn't really say so, but, you know, for my own entertainment, sometimes I play. But I don't use it in this really versatile way, and I think maybe I should try some new techniques.
I'll send you a brush.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you. Do you want to put the fiddle away now, and then we'll get going on our walk? Me to carry something.
All right, go on then.
Yeah, shall I carry the guitar?
Go on for the guitar.
I've carried lots of guitars for lots of musicians.
I've worked up a sweat now.
Thank you. Yeah, okay.
Appreciate it.
Which way are we going to walk?
This way.
Okay.
Yes.
So, Gemma, I'm interested to learn a little bit about your history. Because you were born in Haiti, and how long did you live there?
I lived there until 1994. We moved to America.
What age were you then?
I was about 8 years old.
Right. So what are your memories of Haiti? Do you have any memories of it?
I do, actually. Quite vivid memories of growing up on my father's plantation farm with lots of animals, growing different crops.
What sort of crops did he grow?
Harvesting peas, corn, like root vegetables, like yams, mayoc. What's mayoc in English again?
I don't know.
Yuca.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And was there any music in those early days?
Yes, there was. I grew up in a very musical family, led by my dad, who's also a musician. He played the guitar, and he'd teach us songs, and he was also in a band, had his own band.
What sort of band was it?
It was sort of like a Haitian roots folk meets potentially pop with some spiritual elements to it as well.
And did you, as a little girl, used to go to the gigs?
Yes. Used to see rehearsals happening at home all the time. It was a natural part of our lives. And actually, my dad tried to teach me to play the guitar.
How did that go?
Didn't go well.
Is that like teaching your daughter to drive?
Literally that. Yeah, you get someone else to do it.
So did you pick up the guitar quite early on?
No.
No.
I resisted, and I love music. And when we were living in the States, I tried to do clarinet for a bit in like elementary school. It didn't go very well. When we moved to Florida, I had opportunity to do the violin, and that stuck, and it was a match made for life.
And so, just tell me about the move from Haiti to the United States. Were you frightened, or were you just sort of taken along with it, and you thought, oh, this is all fine?
Yeah, taken along with it, this is fine. And we moved to Minnesota first, then we moved to Kansas City, and then we eventually moved to Florida. I lived in Florida for quite a while.
And so did you mind the moving around, or was it difficult for you to settle and make friends, or did you just take it in your stride?
take it in our stride. We were all a bit sad when we had to move from Kansas City to Florida, but the heat was calling to my parents, and they wanted to be closer to so they can travel to Haiti as well. From Florida.
To go back to see family
exactly,
and friends and
yeah.
so on. Yeah,
that's it.
I understand. So you settled in Florida, mm-hmm. and that was where your musical education started?
Yes, that's when I had middle school, where I picked up the violin.
So you were learning classical violin at that time?
Yeah, learning to play the classical violin, yeah. And then I went on to high school in Florida, where it was like a performing arts high school, so I got to do loads of ensemble performance on the violin. So it was all still classically trained.
Well, look at this. I just wanted to take a moment to turn to the left here. We'll go back to your story in a second.
Yeah, let's have a look at
there's
this.
There's a great spot for looking out over the water here
mm-hmm.
and spotting the birds. Mm-hmm. I can hear geese. Can
yes.
you hear geese?
Yeah.
And the wood here is carved into the shapes of birds and animals. And we can just look over the fence and see some expanses of water and reed beds stretching out. What a wonderful sight that is, isn't it?
Mm.
Do you know about birds?
I like looking at them.
We had the same experience with the guitarist John Smith on the cliffs at Brixham in Devon, and this bird went past, and I said, "What's that?" He said, "I don't know, but it flies."
Are you a bird watcher?
Not really. No, I love watching them. I love seeing them, and I live near a RSPB reserve like this, so I go walking. But I need to get my book out to identify things.
Mm. I'd love to go for a walk with an actual bird watcher who knows all the names.
Well, we did an amazing podcast with Sam Lee.
Oh, yes.
And we went to his Singing with Nightingales event, and he brought an ornithologist along, and who at dusk took us into the woods and then pointed out the calls of the different birds that we were hearing, which was fantastic. But of course, I can't remember any of them. What a beautiful sight, though.
Uh-huh.
I know there are Folk on Foot listeners who understand this kind of thing and know about birds, and they'll write in and tell us what these calls are, but I'm going to stick my neck out and say that might be a Canada goose. Did you still stay in touch with your Haitian roots during that time in the States, and indeed to this day? Did your parents keep you in touch with it?
Yes. Fortunately, as soon as we moved to the States, they were very insistent that we couldn't speak English in the house. We were told. So we're coming home from school, and you know, testing our English, and we were told, nope, no English in the house.
You had to speak Creole.
Yeah. Speak Creole in the house, so we wouldn't forget our language. We were very sheltered. I didn't know anything about rock music until, I'd say, about late high school, early undergraduate. Especially in my undergraduate, my roommate said, we're going to educate you about rock, Jerma.
How did they start doing that?
Just giving me CDs and a list of people to go and listen to. But on top of that, though, I was doing my own bit of research. Since I was in, like, high school, we had, like, local libraries with CDs. So I actually was really into jazz and lots of world music in high school. So I was listening to stuff that my peers weren't really listening to, and I kept that quiet.
You kept that quiet from your peers or from your parents?
All of the above.
Do you think your mum and dad might have objected? Did they didn't want you going in that direction?
Well, they didn't like us listening to too much, like, popular stuff. It was a very sheltered house in that they wanted us to be linked to gospel music and Haitian gospel music as well.
Can
ready
we
to
in?
Duck?
Yeah, we're going under the fence. Yeah. Hang on a minute.
I'll pass the.
Okay, we pass that through. Mm-hmm. Pass the guitar through.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks. Do you know what I wonder if this isn't a place for you to sing as a song?
Ooh.
What do you think? Would you be up for that?
Yeah, that'd be great. Let's do it.
What would you like to sing for us?
Shall we try Lark in the Morning?
That would be great.
Yeah? Some lies to sit upon the knee, And with a Jacobea voice, a whistle, and they'll sing. For a plowboy is as happy as a prince or a king. Cuckoo-dee-coo. Ooh. Cuckoo-dee-coo.
Doesn't it, with the birds singing around us to sing that song? Your finger's cold.
Cold.
So why that song? What was it that made you want to tackle that song?
I had this seed funding with EFDSS, and I had...
The English Folk Song and Dance Society.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And I had a chance to be in the Vaughan Williams Library, and I got a chance to sit in front of some fantastic literature, songs from a long time ago, and I was fascinated by how certain songs traveled around and how different regions in England would have the same song, but they might sing it differently, or they might title it differently, how one song might be played differently but have similar motion of the notes. So I found Lark in the Morning. I was reading about it, and I wanted to respond to it. But I told myself not to listen to anyone's version, because I didn't, like, I listened to it later and I didn't realize it was a jolly song.
Well, you thought it was a sad song.
Yeah, well, I was like, let me just read the words to this song and what it's about. And I was just like, my response to it was, well, there's not a lot of folk songs with a female narrative where it's from the female perspective. And I felt like the female's story in this is lost. As I was leafing through lots of books of old songs, a lot of them were just like, how, you know, I had this maiden here and I had this maiden there. I had this maiden everywhere.
There's a lot of it about, isn't there, in folk song?
And there was, like, I was like, where's this song from the female perspective? The other, I found ones where it was just, like, about a woman who's scorned, you know, she's angry. The maiden that was talked about in these songs didn't have a voice, so I thought, let me do my version of this song and see if a melody would come to mind. And that's how this song came about, yeah. To give the voice to the maiden in the song, essentially.
So you've taken it in your direction, mm-hmm. in the way that so many people did in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, you're adding to the tradition, really,
that's,
aren't you?
That's it, yeah.
A new version.
That's it,
It's
yeah.
very beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
So... we were talking about the fact that you were listening to jazz, to rock music, in secret. You were a secret rock music
yes.
listener.
Yes.
So that was your act of rebellion.
Yes.
Yeah, what kind of rock music did you get into, or what jazz music did you get into?
I got into jazz more. I listened to a lot of Charlie Parker, Robert Glasper,
Yeah, what effect did that have on you, you know, on your
Regina
own...
Carter. the jazz violinist. Yes.
Ah, and that presumably was an inspiration.
Huge, especially, you know, growing up at that time, I didn't see any violinists that looked like me that were out there at the time. And we looked at orchestras, there was not much representation.
They were all white.
That's it. That's it. So I was like, look what she's doing. And then I found this group called the Iden Reichelt Project in my public library. And they were like this world music band. I don't know if you've heard of them. It was a random find and really liked their stuff. So I was just like, this is cool. This is not music I hear, you know, out there. And I'm like, I'd love to see what I could do if I put my mind to it, kind of thing. Yeah.
And were you playing in public at this time in this kind of music, or were you just doing the classical stuff?
I did classical until I finished my master's in York.
Right, so you came to York University to study music. So that's a great course at York University, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we've had Kerry Andrew on here, and she's a graduate of York University.
Excellent.
And so were you exposed there to all sorts of different musical influences?
Yes, I was exposed to lots of performers that were coming in as well when they had their concert series. So I got to see some folk bands, and they had the early music association.
So how was your own musical style shaping up as you graduated, as you left university? What was your performance style?
Well, during my time at my undergrad and my master's, I was exploring composition. My composition style was very jazz influenced, actually more jazz influenced than anything. My Haitian roots hadn't quite gotten in there yet. Only, like I'd say, it was quite subtle. And I was not singing as well. So singing never actually took place as a main thing I did until I graduated.
Right, so that started to come in later.
Yeah, when 2011, there was a recession, and I bought this ukulele, and I was just like, where's the jobs? What am I doing? And I just started exploring. I felt like there was less pressure to be this technically able violinist doing all. You know how like most violinists who finish with the classical training, you practice excerpts to get into orchestras. And I was just like,
you didn't want to do that.
I didn't want to do that. But it was having to be quite rigid in just playing that, playing these excerpts to get into orchestras, and that would just be my life. I just thought there's got to be more to it than this.
And so the ukulele was a sign of loosening up a bit.
Yes.
Yeah, letting your hair down.
Exactly. It was when I picked up the ukulele, I started just writing stuff, singing with the ukulele, and I just thought, oh, yeah, singing.
that suddenly came to you.
Yeah, I can sing stuff.
And you can write stuff. And,
yeah.
And was that when your Haitian influences started to come to the fore again?
That's it, yeah. I was looking at lots of Haitian literature, Haitian linguists, and developed a love of a specific Haitian linguist called Emmanuel Vandrin. After that, I just really got in touch with writing lyrics in Haitian Creole as well. And I think the overall aim for me at that time and today is that I just want to write music that I want to hear on the radio that isn't just what English and it fits a specific popular style. I just wanted to hear something that I might want to hear.
Uh-huh.
So that I think that was what I was leading with.
So how did the Haitian influences manifest themselves in the music that you were making?
So it took form in maybe how I did a guitar accompaniment style. There's certain accompaniment styles that are very well known amongst Haitian troubadours, which are usually like a man and a guitar singing ballad. That's what a troubadour is. And that originated from Haitian workers in Cuba or anyone who's working in the field who might want to play the guitar. And the troubadour would usually be someone who's just singing and accompanying to love songs or songs about what they see. So the accompaniment style is a unique element of the Haitian style that I use.
And would that be how your dad played the guitar?
Yes, actually, yeah. He definitely influenced me without realizing. Yeah, it's come full circle.
And the other influences are in the way you write the lyrics, presumably. And the kind of subject matter, perhaps, as
Yes, the subject matter, revealing what we see in our songs or commenting on any injustice. That's quite huge in Haitian Racine, so Haitian root style music. So they have bands like Boukma Experience from Haiti, who are known for writing songs about reconnecting with our roots and observing what is around us and, you know, resisting anything that, you know, isn't aligned with who we are.
You mentioned about songs that deal with injustice, and I think you have been inspired in the last year by an injustice and by something that happened to write one of your new songs. Mm-hmm. Would you tell us about that?
Before the George Floyd incident, this song was influenced by many incidents in the States of police brutality that took place. And when the George Floyd incident took place, it just solidified that it, you know, this is something that needs to stop. And I was quite emotionally affected by it. And it took me a while to actually get back into playing.
Really?
Yeah. Because I was just in that fed up state with it. Because I've had family members affected by police brutality or intimidation back when we lived in the States. So for me, it was quite personal as well. So when I was able to get back to playing again, I arranged the words to the song as my sort of response to what happened and my own processing of the trauma that I've been through and my family has been through being exposed to this on a regular basis. It's quite regular in the States.
So what you had people who were beaten up by the police, or
just, you know, unfairly arrested and pressure applied on them unfairly, unnecessarily as well.
Physical pressure,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you process that by doing it, putting it in the song?
Yes.
Thank you. Gemma, thank you. I must say, it was an overwhelming feeling of sadness in listening to that. I mean, some people might have responded with anger to some of the things you've been talking about, but you chose sadness. Why was that, do you think?
I'd say there's sadness in there, but there's also like a showing of the wound for all to see, like an open casket kind of thing to it as well, where you need to see it.
Did it take a long time for that song to develop?
Yes, it did, yeah. And it's, I think it's still developing. I might perform it in a different way, as and when, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So have you been doing a lot of writing during the lockdown?
Yes, well, bits of writing, developing things that I've already had, as I was meant to be releasing an album in 2020, and the whole recording process got delayed, so now I've had more time to just develop.
And has the album changed completely in that time?
I'd say yes, definitely, but like the overall theme of it hasn't.
Which is what?
I'm exploring the theme of borderlines and bloodlines. After me and my family, we looked into our ancestry DNA.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And what does that show you?
Well, I've got lots of links to Nigeria, Senegal, Cameroon, Scandinavia.
Scandinavia?
Yes. I think there was Ireland in there. Scottish even.
And how did you react to finding that out? What effect did that have on you?
Well, it was inspiring. It just got me really interested in looking into our origins a bit more, and especially our African origins. It got me writing differently as well, and looking at African texts, African instruments.
I think you collaborated with a kora player, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, yes. And that is
which is the West African harp.
Yeah, Kajawi Kuyate. We worked on two songs together that will be in the album. And that was to get in touch with my Senegalese side as well. But I would say the overall Haitian roots are still in there. But we're looking at it in a different way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it seems like you're a melting pot, if you like, of all these very different influences
coming together. Yeah.
And then creating from them something unique.
That's it, yeah. Yeah, I think it's still growing. It's just based on where I am. So if you plant me somewhere else, it might just be different as well. Yeah. There's a song I called Wildflower that I wrote a long time ago when I first started gigging. And the words to the song was written by the Haitian poet, linguist, Emmanuel Van Duyn. And it's a song about nature and how he uses like double entendres to describe love. And when I came here, it just made me want to just produce the song and put it out there. Waiting for the rain, you are the dew that can water me. As a thirsty camel walking many kilometers in a desert, you are an oasis, oh sunflower without a garden. Garden without jasmine, honeybees without hives, buying into the spring. Season. Why don't you buzz, buzz in my flower that sits just by the road? Why do you refuse to bloom in my garden? Can't you see how much you are to me? Oh, sunflower without a garden, garden without jasmine, bees without hives, flying into the spring. Try and think of something indispensable. Multiply it by 1,000 and I the product to the feeling of love you never had in your life. To the feeling of love you never had in your life. To the feeling of love you never had in your life. To the feeling of love you never had. Without a garden, garden without jasmine, honeybees without hives, flying into the spring. Season.
That is so appropriate to be sung right here in the spring, because everything is bursting out around us. It's quite cold today, but everything is coming out around us. The birds are really getting going, aren't they? And the blossoms coming out on the boughs. So thank you. Thank you very much indeed for sharing your music with us and for showing us the Sandwell Valley.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Jerma Adan in the Sandwell Valley. And I have to tell you that we have filmed all the songs that Jerma performed during our walk. And if you want to see them, they're going to be part of our Folk on Foot on Film archive, which is only available to our subscribers, our Folk on Foot heroes, who give us £10 a month to keep the podcast going. So if you want to sign up and see that film archive with more than 100 songs from all the walks that we've been involved in, well, all you have to do is go to folkonfoot.com/watch and you can sign up there. It's absolutely brilliant. And it also, by the way, has all the sets from the Folk on Foot festivals, and you can search it by artist to find your favourites. So you'll see Jerma's films and the films of lots of people we've walked with. folkonfoot.com/watch. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. There are now more than 40 episodes of Folk on Foot for you to enjoy. Please have a listen.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.